Good. I'm good. Yes, hanging out. I had a great sports show this morning. So, you know, we do that a little early your time. Let's see. We get started about 9 o'clock here, 9 a.m. Well, it's actually early on the West Coast, 6 a.m. on the West and 8 Central. So it's pretty.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait a minute. You don't know me. I am not a morning person. Unless I have to go to work, I'm not getting up before 8 a.m. Unless my mama needs me.
I'm shocked, man. I'm really shocked.
Sleep in late. No, don't be shocked. Don't be.
Okay, all right. I mean, you're entitled to that. You know, you work hard, and so you deserve to have your rest when you want to take it, right? Absolutely. So, but yes, lots of great things are happening. Lots of great things are happening here. We have some new programs. I will tell you more about that in the future. New programs coming up, and some pretty exciting things. Your mic is on mute.
I know. I'm sorry. The guest was calling me because he's having a problem, and so I was trying not to let him be heard on the radio.
That's quite all right. But actually, you know, I was just talking to another guest I have coming up next week, and he's having some Wi-Fi issues with his carrier, and it's supposed to be, I don't know what carrier he has. I'm going to check with that. But it's supposed to be a nationwide issue with this particular carrier, glitching their system or something like that. But anyway, you sounded great, and we're doing great here. So,
anyway. Well, hopefully you can let the guest in now. I think he's finally got it.
I'm looking for him. As soon as I see him, I will let him in. So, while we're waiting for him, let's a little bit, tomorrow, I think you missed last week, we were talking about artificial intelligence. And it was a real good show. It was, yours truly. It was Mad Mike or Mike Ward and Dr. Sims. And we had a real, lively and riveting conversation talking about artificial intelligence. And so, I think that it is necessary to talk about because many people aren't. They aren't talking about it. And it's kind of scary in some areas. Did you know that someone, they have a program now where they can duplicate your voice? It is.
They can do more than duplicate your voice. They can, they have these things called deep fakes where they can actually, you know, have something that looks very much like you and
yes,
make you look naked. They've done that and caused some influencers to lose, you know, money and followers.
Yes. We'll talk about that more. Your guest is here. So, but that's tomorrow on the Boomerang Radio Show. Folks, you don't want to miss that show. It comes on at 3 p.m. on the West, 5 Central and 6 Eastern Standard Time. So now I'm going to step aside because your guest is on.
Yeah, thank you, William. You know what? You made that just so easy. I mean, he's such a professional, isn't he? I mean, it was just flawless. He just kept talking like this was part of the script. I love you so much. You're just wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take flattery anytime I can get it. Yep, absolutely.
Right, especially for me because you know, compliments don't come easy. Oh, and by the way, for everybody who listens to the replay of the show, I want to apologize. See, I put it on mute because that was my song that William was playing, and I try not to go in when he's playing, you know, a song that really lifts my spirits. And so I had it on mute, and my husband came in because he's my tech support, right? And he was doing some stuff, and I was just really singing. And I just said, you know this is being recorded, right? And I'm like, I'm on mute. He's like, look at the green thing that's going on. I'm like, oh. So I apologize to the people getting the syndicated show recording. Please forgive me. I think it was Vicky Yohi, if I'm not mistaken. You forgive me too, sister, for messing up your song.
No, no, that's fine. Because, you know, I could see you moving there. I said, wow, she's really loving this song. So, hey, it's all good.
No. You saw me moving. I hit mute and my head was down. I was doing some stuff. And then I was singing.
Okay.
And then Andre came in and I turned the camera off and I really went in.
Oh,
Okay. Anyway, but I got my praise on.
You got your praise on this morning.
In the band, so the Lord was glorified, but your ears might not be.
That's all right. All right, my friend, I'm going to step aside.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning out there in Radio Land. Good morning, everybody following us on social media. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor, the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, and this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course. You guys know about that. But we also do it in a variety of other ways. We like to support you on a daily basis because, you know, we only have the class once or twice a year. But our blog is up every week. And yes, I did post something new to the blog. Thank you very much. And of course, you know that we have the radio show here every week for you too. And, we're on social media so that we can, you know, help navigate this health and fitness thing. So you guys want to stay involved, stay up to date, keep following us, tell a friend, you know what I'm saying? There are lots of people, so many people who are doing what they can, to take care of their health and fitness, and some are struggling. So however we can be of service, we are more than willing to serve. So please do spread the word. All right, folks, you know what time it is. It's time for our weekly motivation. Our motivation is designed to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, to inspire you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way. And if you haven't been able to find a way to get motivated, we want to motivate you through Jesus Christ to get healthy and fit. So today's motivation is entitled, The God Who Heals You. Very often, those who are overweight or entangled with eating disorders develop medical conditions as a result of their unhealthy lifestyles. Aside from being too fat or dangerously skinny, there's usually a system in the body that's being gravely abused and in danger of failing. Christians and unbelievers alike often ask why bad things happen to, especially when the bad things are happening in their own lives. Those who are overweight, suffering from obesity-related diseases, or eating disorders like bulimia are among those who sometimes wonder, why is this happening to me? Many will tell you that it's a part of the curse on mankind, which occurred due to Adam and Eve's disobedience. Others argue exercising free will gives us the freedom to make poor choices, which result in unintended negative consequences. Another school of thought maintains that it's just the way life goes. Eventually, something bad happens to everybody, even if the only bad thing that ever happens in your life is your inevitable death. There's truth in all of the explanations, but none of them fits every scenario. Yes, Adam and Eve's fall from grace negatively affected every human being born since that day, but it's still hard to reconcile with why babies are born with life-threatening birth defects or innocent bystanders are killed during a fight that had nothing to do with them. Although we know people make poor choices, such as using drugs or alcohol during pregnancy, our hearts still go out to the children who suffer from developmental disabilities due to the circumstances that were outside of their control. In regard to the third point, it's a fact as well as a biblical principle that man's days are short and full of trouble. But you can't help but notice that some seem to have more trouble than others. As with everything, the answer to the question is found in Christ. In John 9, Jesus was asked whether a man who had been blind since birth was blind due to the man's sins or due to the sin of his parents. Jesus replied, "Neither has this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Glory, hallelujah. Even if you have never known a skinny day in all your life, it's not because you've had bad genes. It's not because you were meant to be fat. And it's not because it was bound to happen to somebody and that somebody just happened to be you. Jesus said it happened so that God will be glorified in you and through you. It is true that unlike the blind man's illness, obesity is usually the direct result of entanglement with the sin of gluttony, and the enemy often ensnares those prone to it as children. Nevertheless, every human being who ever walked this earth, except for Jesus Christ, has sinned, And it is no less a miracle to be set free from a sin that has plagued you your entire life, particularly when you saw no hope of being free of it. In other words, whether you've been fat all of your days, a few decades, or a few months, the Lord will set you free from the bondage of sin so that you will be a walking, talking, breathing testament that he is still the God who heals you. If you're ready for God to heal you and be glorified by setting you free of your health and fitness problem, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Don't forget to read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ, and follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Then tune into our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, the DFW Den radio station, Studio WBuzz, and Victory, KVVW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that's your motivation for today. We hope and pray it encourages you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspires you to get up and try again. If you fell down somewhere along the way, and if you haven't been able to find a reason to get motivated on your own, we hope and pray we've motivated you today through Jesus Christ to take charge of your health and fitness. All right. All right, folks, we've got an awesome show lined up for you today. Those of you who've been listening to us every week, you know that we have been spotlighting the authors who have contributed to a book that I was asked to be a part of. It's called The Love Manifesto Anthology. And we have had the different authors on the show talking about the parts of the anthology that they contributed to. So today we're continuing that, and we have with us Earl C. Mitchell III. He's an accomplished mentor and scholar of African and African American studies with deep experience in the development of collegiate level mentorship programs that promote cultural identity and understanding. Mr. Mitchell was born in the Bronx, New York. He received his elementary through high school education in New York and later relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, where he completed his Bachelor of Arts degree from Morehouse College. Awesome. He also completed a master's program in African American studies at Clark Atlanta University. He and his family live in the New York area and enjoy traveling. Mr. Mitchell's traveled across the globe and documented his findings on African and African American history. His trips throughout Africa, Europe, the Americas, and the Caribbean islands have served as the backdrop of his research. It is Mr. Mitchell's estimation that knowledge of self leads to greater self-awareness when predicated upon a true understanding of one's culture. I love it. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mitchell. How are you today? I can't hear you. Your volume's not working. Nope, still can't hear you. You're on mute now. Okay. You're off mute. Can you turn up the volume on your computer? Nope, can't hear you. I don't know what's going on over there. William, did you do something wrong? Did you mess something up? Because if you did, you need to fix it. I know my computer has a volume control thing that I have to deal with. Maybe we might have to have you log in and come back on if we can't fix your volume. Did you select at the beginning, use your camera and your audio? Can't hear a word you're saying. I think you can hear me though. Looks like you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Let's go ahead and get you to maybe log out and log back in. Let's see if we can fix it. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, everybody, bear with us. We're having some technical difficulties, but hopefully we will have Mr. Mitchell back with us in just a few moments. I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing what he has to say, because he's going to actually be back with us to talk to the boys about critical race theory, in the coming weeks. He's, as you can tell by his background, just absolutely the perfect person to have on the show with the kids to discuss this issue and why it's so important in their lives. Because it's affecting them, more than anybody else. You've got people creating laws all across the country because of something that isn't even taught on the elementary school, middle school, junior high school level. That's more of a collegiate level type of study. Nevertheless, people are making all types of laws against it. So folks, I'm looking forward to hearing, about that discussion with him as well as with the kids. So you guys want to stay around, so that you can hear his particular interview with us today, because I imagine that his take on what's going on in terms of, you know, not just critical race theory, but also, the Love Manifesto anthology is going to be awesome. So stay with us. Hopefully we'll get it taken care of in just a moment. All right, everybody. William happened to call me while I was talking to you, so I'm so sorry. But yeah, he's gonna play us some music so that we can get this taken care of. And again, I am so sorry about the technical difficulties that we're having this morning. Hopefully, Mr. Mitchell will be able to come on and tell you about his aspect of the book, The Love Manifesto Anthology, in just a few minutes. And then after that, I'll tell you more about him coming to be on the Teens Talk Truth radio show, which will be taking place in a few weeks. It's not going to be right after the show, but you will be able to hear more about him and his background, his field of study that he's been doing a lot of research in extensively and working in that field extensively for years. But if you haven't purchased the Love Manifesto Anthology, please do so. Go to Amazon.com. It's the Love Manifesto Anthology by Dr. Vitangela Crossfield. You guys may remember that she was a guest on the show a few weeks back, but this is her brainchild, and she brought all of us together. People from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different genders, of course. And she got, you know, everybody's perspective on this love thing that we all are, a part of. Every human being on the planet is affected by love because, well, the God who created us is a spirit, and he is love, and we are made in his image. So we are also spirits of love. And to hear how we all view it, different aspects of it, whether we're talking about romantic love, platonic love, loving, those who we have professional relationships with, all that kind of thing. You get a lot of different perspectives, as well as different experiences of the different authors who wrote the book. Me personally, I wrote on romantic love from a religious standpoint. So if you haven't gotten the book, please do go to Amazon.com and purchase the Love Manifesto Anthology. Mr. Mitchell, you're back with us. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So we'll talk this up that the cell phone works better than my laptop. I have no idea. I mean, it was trying to put it together, but glad I'm here nonetheless.
No problem. I'm just
the difficulties.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm going to get better at working through the technical difficulties while I'm talking on my phone to somebody.
It's okay.
But I'm glad to have you here. Welcome to the show. Your background, as you know, fascinates me. I already let you know that, that I'm really looking forward to talking to you, not just today, but, in the coming weeks again. I told him I might just kind of take over the Teens Talk Truth interview that he's going to do with AJ and Alex on critical race theory. Speaking of that, oh my gosh, that's William's favorite topic too. So knowing him, he might jump in or at least try to get you back on a different show on the Studio W Buzz radio station. But I'd love to start out talking to you about how you came to be a part of the Love Manifesto anthology, because everybody has a different Dr. Tangy
story. That's point of contact, right? The dot in the middle of the circle.
Yes.
The way that I became a part of the project, I've known Tangy, Dr. Tangy, I believe, as she is called. I've known Dr. Tangy for quite some time. We go back several years, and would probably start when we were both in graduate school, and she was actually one of the first people that I met, and just a very kind-hearted spirit whose openness and whose genuineness just really just arrests you, you know, when you meet her. And that's where our, you know, relationship, you know, began. And she's been a friend for many, many years. She's been extremely kind. And when she was putting together the Love Manifesto anthology, I don't know if she called me or if she sent me an email, but I know she said that this is a process and a program that I think that you need to be a part of. And she said, I think it would be cathartic for you. Mm. And, you know, Tangy's a very interesting individual. She's not a very surface person by any stretch of the imagination. And again, when I speak about the genuineness, I didn't really realize what she was asking me to do. And I didn't know how I'm going to interact with the book. And, you know, she kind of laid out what she wanted, which topics and that kind of thing. And, you know, I have a business. I didn't want to write about, you know, the love of business or, you know, being in love with business and many of the other types of opportunities that she, you know, extended to us all. Mm-hmm. But the aspect of intimate love, of what that might look like, I chose that, but then really had to think about how to come up with the idea that I was going to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And I really had to take a look at myself and say, well, am I going to be transparent? Which engaging in love and dealing with intimacy, you do have to be. Mm-hmm. And I went as far as I could. Let me just say that.
Right.
Piece that was extended, that I was able to extend. But mm-hmm. again, the relationship that I've had with Tangy as a dear friend goes back, at least 10, 15 years. I can't believe the time is moving as fast.
I know, right? I know.
You know, but she's an amazing individual. She's brought some amazing individuals together to just try to, I think, heal the world. I mean, that's her spirit. And I think bringing the people who she has respect and honor for, to the forefront, to this particular project is just amazing, because anyone that reads the book, they're going to get something different from what each author is extending. And what each author has extended is very profound from my perspective. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a part of, you know, project, but everyone has an amazing background. They have an amazing story, and the manner in which they wrote, you know, from the heart will really touch anybody that reads the book.
You know, you mentioned your, you know, love of business, your love of what you do for a living, and that you also have a company, which I love. It's Third Eye Media. It's awesome. I love the title. Yes. Tell us a little bit about Third Eye Media.
Third Eye Media has been around for a very long time, like when there was no video on the internet.
Wow.
Started off as a webcasting company many, many years ago before what we take for granted now, like you and I having this conversation right now. I engaged in webcasting and kind of figured out that there was a little bit of money to be made, you know, doing that. But what I didn't realize was that technology changes every 18 months, and it's probably now. And what ended up happening, I ended up having a conversation with the securities firm. And my idea was, instead of the securities firms having to fly and do the whole dog and pony show in terms of, you know, how they can, you know, create bonds and things of that nature for certain companies, that instead of making that trip, instead of, you know, spending money, you know, on room and board, let me webcast this for you, right? This one-to-one relationship, which was a great idea, at least I thought. So I had a chance to pitch the idea to several companies, and one company was very open. And one of the interesting things that came out of that first foray of conversations was, listen, I think what you're doing is great, and, you know, I think there's an opportunity for us. He says, but what's the difference between what my son is doing? He said he's in elementary school, and he's dealing with this vanilla package type of software that gets video onto the internet. And literally after he said that to me, I said, I want to thank you very much. I said, because you just let me know that my business is obsolete. And
wow.
Was. And I think in business, you know, to have a love of business, you have to be very aware of what works, what doesn't work. And then you have to an extent, if you can, see as much of the future as possible. Mm-hmm. In that moment, what I recognized was that I did not own any of the aspects of webcasting. I didn't own any of the code. I didn't own any of the cameras. I didn't have... not the copyrights, but the patents to the information that would have allowed me to make money. So the individuals who created the code and what have you, those were the folks who were making money. I had a service that was in the process of becoming obsolete, because essentially video over the phone and video over the internet, at least at that moment in time, was about to be free.
Wow.
And I was able to make money. So I had to step back and revamp what it was that I was doing. And I really had to ask myself, interestingly enough, what is it that I really love? Mm-hmm. And engaging and thinking about those things that I really love, that I felt that I would be able to bring something to the public, was my love of history. Mm-hmm. Just African and African-American history, but just history in general. Mm-hmm. And what that did was take me on another track, which utilized my background in consulting at the time, but my love for research, which ultimately took me back to graduate school where I met Dr. Chansey, mm-hmm. and then ultimately ended up, I guess, prior to that time and up to now, ending up having traversed at least 5 of the 7 continents of this earth, having more research than I can write a book for, and like everybody else in the world, simply figuring it out as I go along, because there's no, you know, arriving at your destination. You know, life is just a journey. So where I it's just having had all of these wild experiences, and I'm just fortunate not to be crazy. And then
I think it gives you wisdom. I think that's what experiences are for. And you know, you talked about adapting your company to meet the changing landscape that you're confronted with on a regular basis, because that's how so many companies, I think, end up failing. I mean, you know, you think about it, years ago there was Blockbuster, and I remember it driving out the mom and pop video renting places in our city, well, my town rather, where I grew up. And then just, you know, a couple of decades later, you have Netflix come along, and Redbox is now chasing Netflix. So I mean, things are just constantly changing. So it looks like what you've done is not only work with media online, but you are also publishing books. So does Third Eye Media publish books, or is this something totally different?
No, Third Eye is the umbrella company, if you will, that does publish the books. But what's interesting, you know, you were asking about, you know, the name, if you will. So that name, you know, the idea of the third eye, right, dealing with the pineal gland and those aspects coming up out of ancient Egypt in particular, but Africa in general, if you will. gives the type of insight and foresight in reference to having this, you know, omnipotent type of understanding, to be godlike. Wow. I spent a lot of time in Egypt. As a matter of fact, my first time there, I was there for about 2 months.
Wow.
And literally on those temples, when you walk to the temples, one of the epithets on many of the temples is man, know yourself. And so we all know that, you know, notably from a Grecian perspective. But the full wordage is, man, know yourself so that you will know God and all men and women that come before you. So, preach. You know, you know, and I think it, at least those types of trips that I've had, mm-hmm. have added to the wisdom, because it's one thing to learn. It's another thing to gain knowledge, but it's in the application where the wisdom comes into play, because it's not about you. It's about what you extend to others so that they can get to where God wants them to be quicker than it took you to get to where you are.
Well, you know, you have a flair for titles. I'm looking at, you know, these books titles, Understanding Washington, D.C. Through a Kemetic Lens, Egyptian Origins of Washington, D.C., Volume 1, African Gods in America's Capital. So it looks like you have definitely used your knowledge, your understanding, your experiences, and poured them into your company in a very creative, very original, innovative way. Tell us a little bit about these books. Are these books that you have written, or are these books you're publishing for other people, or is there a mixture of the two?
All of them are books that are either published or in the process of being published. They need to be reprinted, many of them. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I went on to Amazon.com and somebody's selling one of my first editions for $229, which I thought was...
Wow.
I don't have any first editions, you know, but right. I think when people recognize what you've done, and it's clearly somebody recognized it, they try to make money off of it. Now, of course, the book has sold to somebody or extended, you know, to a school or what have you. But I think someone read it and recognized what was there. And at the end of the day, in terms of, you know, the titles, if you will, the titles are to make individuals think. And then, of course, the information that's inside the book is really to expand the mind. And it's really more than just saying, hey, this is what happened in history. This is a practical application of history. So what happens, and I'll just give you an example. So you were talking about understanding Washington, D.C. Through a Kemetic lens. That was my master's thesis, upon which Egyptian Origins of Washington, D.C., African Gods in America's Capital is predicated. So in recognizing what was rediscovered, because that type of research had not been done, at least at that moment up in 2009. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening, I'm what you call a semiotician, right? Mm-hmm. So I deal in symbols. So if you saw the Da Vinci Code, right, with Tom Hanks, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, I might be dating myself again, even for some of your listeners.
But I remember that movie, yes.
One of my favorite movies, and Tom Hanks, you know, as the protagonist, he dealt with signs and symbols, and he dealt with what's called semiotics. Mm-hmm. And semiotics is the study of signs and symbols. And then, you know, there's a whole conversation. There's a whole level of knowledge that comes up out of these silent symbols that speak volumes. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening for me, I've always had this fascination with culture, wanted to know, you know, where I came from and that kind of thing, as many of us do. Again, I've traveled to Africa several times, you know, starting back when I was a junior and senior in high school. Thank you, Mount Vernon High School, for the example and for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But that was the beginning. And, you know, of course, I got older, traveled more. But in reference to our nation's capital, while African Americans, we were enslaved, because we were not slaves, we were enslaved. Mm-hmm. We were the ones that built the U.S. Capitol. You know, we were the ones that built the White House. We were the ones that have serving capacity in the White House, even up to the present day. Mm-hmm. And in many instances, understanding the foundation of the architectural and the cartographic, i.e. what you see from a map perspective, oftentimes that level of understanding and knowledge is not associated with our culture. Mm-hmm. So what I was able to do through an understanding of semiotics and the coming together in the commingling of history, mm-hmm. was to actually see these ideas as they were written in an ancient book called Pert M. Heru, and one of them is called, which is called the, they call it the Book of the Dead. But mm-hmm. then another book, the Papyrus of Erubin, and the Papyrus of, I can't believe I'm forgetting these books, and I wrote about this stuff, right?
I understand. You, please, don't even feel bad about it. I get it.
And the last one is the Papyrus of Anai. Mm-hmm. But in those three papyri, with this language, with these different symbols, you can actually see it etched in the street layout of America's capital.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's important. It's very, very important. So this was one of the first exercises in understanding what that was. And, you know, thankful to the various professors that rigorously said, we don't believe you.
But wow. I think what ended up,
and it's not that they didn't. They wanted to make sure that I dotted my I's and crossed my T's. So those particular professors I have an extreme respect for. Because, you know, one was a Harvard grad, and his he dealt with what's called the practicum hermeticum and dealing with Hermes. One of my other professors, he had a PhD in geography. So now we're taking the historical cultural and we're mixing that now with the geographic. So now we're looking at the writings being etched in stone or the writings being etched in the actual street layout. And it was just one of these wonderful opportunities that I was extended. And again, Clark Atlanta University, thank you so very much. Atlanta, Georgia, as the motto of the school says, find a way.